Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. With breaking news coming out of the state capitol nearly every day, we like to take time on Wednesdays to talk with some of the best political reporters and editors in the state for in-depth perspective on the topics that affect your life in South Dakota. Today's Dakota political junkies are Seth Tupper and Dana Ferguson. Tupper is with the Rapid City Journal. Ferguson is with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Seth Tupper, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Dana Ferguson, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
So, Dana, I woke up to the Sioux Falls Argus Leader and a front page piece by you with the governor's veto of the transgender bill. Do you want to give us an update on what happened this week?
Certainly. It was a very big day at the Capitol yesterday, as you can imagine. A big debate in the Senate, and just minutes after a vote there, Governor Dugard announced that he vetoed House Bill 1008, which would have barred transgender students from bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower facilities unless they had a special accommodation. So very big news from the governor. It has strong support in both chambers of the legislature. But Governor Dugard, in a statement, said, "This isn't something I can support. Schools are already figuring this out on their own, and I don't want to bring this bill if it's going to create legal problems for our schools."
What was the response from the lawmakers in Pierre then? You mentioned it had wide support. What did they say after the veto?
You know, there wasn't a whole lot of support at the Capitol. The bill's sponsor, Fred Deutsch, said he was disappointed. He thought that emotion had gotten into the decision, but he would ask the legislature to concur the governor's veto. There would have been the option, had he not asked for that, to override the veto with two-thirds support from the legislature.
And why did he decide not to do that, did he say?
He said that he really wanted the state to be able to focus on the good work that the legislature is doing this year and not have this argument cloud some of those things that lawmakers are doing out here in Pierre.
Seth, what do you make of the decision the governor made? Was that a political decision, a legal decision, economic decision? What do you make of it?
Well, I was interested to hear Dana talk about Mr. Deutsch talking about emotion, getting into it, because I think from what we know about Dennis Dugard, he's probably one of the least emotional people you'd ever meet. And I think clearly, given the time that he gave to making the decision on the veto and the tone of his message, it didn't seem to be emotional whatsoever. And I guess what I make of it is I was not surprised. I mean, knowing what we know about Governor Dugard, he's been a more moderate type of Republican. He's not been somebody who's prone to radicalism or extreme views. And you know, when you look at this session, he's proposed expanding Medicaid. He's proposed raising the sales tax. So he's not somebody who runs to the extreme wing of the party. And so it probably wasn't likely that he was going to fall in with some of the more extreme elements and sign a bill that many across the country were labeling as an extreme move.
Dana, you mentioned a debate on the floor prior to the veto being announced. What was that conversation?
Yes. Yesterday in the Senate, lawmakers took up Governor Dugard's plan to increase the state sales tax by 0.5% to boost teacher pay. That succeeded in the Senate on a 25-10 vote. It came as a little bit of a surprise to some of the supporters who had been sort of pacing in the hallways, and nervous teachers who were up in the galleries sort of tallying out every vote, just hoping that it would all add up to the two-thirds support that it needed. And it did, so that was, or it can be seen as a victory for the governor. I don't think it's a coincidence that he released his decision on 1008 just minutes after the news about teacher pay came out. Sure. I don't think he wanted that decision to influence the way that lawmakers in the Senate voted at all.
So what's left to say on that topic? What kind of arguments were coming up during the debate that hadn't already been brought up on the other side?
You know, it was a very similar conversation. Opponents said that they should not ask taxpayers to be the ones who are having to pay for the state's education system. They said that lawmakers should work harder to find the dollars in the state budget or by other means. There was an amendment brought that would have reduced the sales tax to a quarter of, I think it was four-tenths of a dollar, rather, increased, and then that got amended again. There was just a lot of amending going on the floor as opponents really wanted to make their arguments again and again that South Dakotans shouldn't have to foot the bill for this, that lawmakers should find a way. But as I said, it concluded with a victory for the bill, for the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and for teachers who were out there.
And what kind of response were those people giving who were pacing the floor and crowding the gallery? What do you hear them saying?
You know, it was a very big day for them. There was a lot of applause in the gallery following the decision. A number of the Blue Ribbon Task Force members met in the hallway. Governor Dugard's chief of staff, Tony Van Huysen, was out there. Education advocates, teachers, we're all sort of giving high fives, hugging, cheering, and celebrating. So they said it was a very historic day at the Capitol as the Senate agreed that teachers should get an increase in pay, and it will come through that half-cent sales tax increase.
Seth, how big of a victory for the governor is this?
Well, I think it's very big, especially given that, you know, the House Majority Leader, Brian Gosch, from out here in Rapid City, very publicly and repeatedly opposed the bill. And so it's not often you see, you know, something passed through the House over, you know, the strong objections of the Majority Leader. So I think that definitely showed the governor's ability to achieve his legislative agenda, over the objections of some in his own party. And that's one of the things I found so interesting about the debate, and what will be interesting going forward, is this bill didn't pit Democrats against Republicans. It pitted Republicans against other Republicans, and there was a real kind of bitter rift that developed over this bill. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any fallout from that going forward, and you know, relationships between people in the party and their ability to work together on other things.
Speaking of that, Dana, do you have any updates on the latest on Lee Schoenbeck? He was a lawmaker who said he was going to resign and then was going to think about it over the weekend. Did we hear back on that?
We have heard back on that. He said that he is going to stick it out for the last few days of the legislative session. He joked on Twitter that giving up the legislature for Lent was a bad decision. So he's going to stick it out. Apparently, whatever his wife told him really stuck with him, and in thinking about it, he agreed to come back, and he is now a member of no caucus. So he's not officially a member of the Republican caucus, as he was sort of kicked out before. So he's operating on his own.
So when you see him out there, is he operating on his own, like, all the time? Is nobody talking to him, or is he having those conversations and sort of reintegrating into the party dialogue?
I think he's reintegrating. I think he likes the idea of not being a part of the party, or the caucus, rather, out here. Mm. It certainly frees up some time for him to stroll around and meet with other people, so he seems to be happy about the decision.
Let's move on to the Medicaid expansion delay. Dana, you want to start on that conversation and see where it's at?
Sure. So the governor announced on Monday that he wouldn't ask the legislature to take up Medicaid expansion in the last 9 days of the legislative session. He said that would just be asking them to do too much in too little time. But the conversation hasn't died. He said he would look to have a special session sometime this year or to bring it up again next year. And in the meantime, the South Dakota Healthcare Solutions Coalition is working on getting some of those steps into place or getting things ready so that if the state were to go ahead with Medicaid expansion, that different facilities, whether it be Indian Health Service facilities or others, would be ready to go.
Seth, talk of a special session that might just be, you know, theoretical, but what does that look like when they say maybe a special session? How does that work?
Well, it would just take the governor, calling the legislature back in a session, I assume, and I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I think Governor Dugard, it's been interesting to watch how he's framed this issue, you know, going back a long way now, before he ever formally proposed Medicaid expansion, just saying that he would be open to it, and then as time goes on, he gave the big explanation in his State of the State address this year, or maybe it was the budget address, I don't remember which, but in one of those speeches, he gave a very detailed proposal, and he sort of let that linger through this session, and it kind of, maybe that's favored, that's made people come around to it a little bit. I mean, by the time you call a special session or you bring it back up next year, legislators have been fully briefed on it. They've had time to linger and think over it. Maybe the opposition to, Medicaid expansion, just because it's tied to President Obama, maybe that fades a little bit as we get closer to the next presidential election. So, it's probably best for the bill from the governor's perspective to not try to tackle it this session. Again, especially with all the animosity he's faced within his own party over the teacher pay and sales tax bill, it would have been probably way too much of a push to try to also get Medicaid through this session, but maybe wise to punt it further down the road and try to bring it up later.
So you mentioned the presidential election there. Let's talk about last night's Super Tuesday. Things are getting kind of spread out. There's some different candidates winning different states. People are talking about a brokered convention. Now we look at our own primary. Doesn't come till June. Do we all of a sudden start to matter? Dana, you want to field that one first?
Sure. I think there's definitely an argument to be made there that South Dakota could be seen as more important, especially if all three Republican contenders stay in it for longer. Certainly, there were wins for Trump last night, but if Cruz and Rubio say we want to stick it out and really stay in here for a while, I think that South Dakota could become really important in that conversation.
Seth, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
I think it's still probably unlikely that South Dakota's primary will be of much importance. It would be nice if it was, because it would certainly be more interesting for us to cover that way. Just as the 2004 primary surprisingly became important in South Dakota because the race between Obama and Clinton was still tight. But, a lot of people don't want to believe that Trump is going to win the nomination, but it just keeps rolling up the victories, and if he keeps doing that at the pace he did last night, you'd have to think that South Dakota's primary may not matter much by the time it finally rolls around in June.
Now, Seth, you recently had a blog post sort of clarifying something that Kristi Noem has been saying about Ronald Reagan. Do you want to give us an update on that?
Well, she sent out this press release where she quoted Reagan saying, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was something to the effect that the federal government needs to remember that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And while that was certainly true with the original 13 colonies, I just put out a blog post because, you know, South Dakota didn't become a state till 1889, and when it did, it needed Congress to vote to allow it into the Union. So to say that the states created the federal government, well, South Dakota didn't create the federal government, actually. If you want to be historically accurate, it's more the other way around, that Congress created South Dakota. So, it's just part of a broader, point that she's trying to make, that the federal government should be allow for more states' rights and states should have more power, and that's fine. But I just thought I'd point out, let's, if we're going to look at history, let's have a full view of it.
A little moment of accuracy. Seth, do you want to talk a little bit about your upcoming piece on Pennington County Jail?
Very soon we'll have a piece. I don't want to give too much away on it, but here in Pennington County. They have an effort to, they're going for a grant from the MacArthur Foundation that's been reported already, but $25 million, or they're going, not $25 million, I don't know why I have that number in my head, but they're going for about $5 million spread over a few years to try to address some problems at the jail, and we'll just be taking a much closer look at that and some of the different facets of the proposal and what they would do with that money if they were to receive it. No, there's been no announcement yet of whether they'll get the grant, but that's anticipated sometime yet in the next near future.
When will those pieces start rolling out in the journal so we can read them?
Potentially, probably looks like a week from Sunday. There's still some debate, I guess. I don't control the publication schedule, but it sounds like probably a week from Sunday is when we'll start publishing that.
And Dana, what's the next big thing you're working on? The last 9 days?
Yes, there will be a piece coming this weekend about that, hoping to do a little bit more coverage on the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services decision yesterday to possibly cut some of their federal funding to an IHS hospital in Rosebud. And as always, just doing some daily coverage of the Capitol.
What are the final things that you're watching for, Dana?
You know, there are a number of bills that we've been reporting on, one particularly that deals with medical marijuana in the form of cannabidiol or CBD. Mm-hmm. The governor has said that he would sign it if it makes it to his desk, or he'd be likely to. So I'll be watching that. A 20-week abortion ban bill just passed in committee today and moves to the House. And the final pieces of Governor Dugard's education funding plan are still up for discussion in the House.
Plenty of business to still take care of.
Certainly.
Dana Ferguson is watchdog state government and political reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Dana, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Seth Tupper, enterprise reporter with the Rapid City Journal. Seth, thanks for being here as well.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we separate Leonardo DiCaprio from Hugh Glass. We'll talk about Frederick Manfred's Lord's Grizzly after the break. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.